Kim and I were looking for a church in Portland. Somehow we ended up at First Covenant Church. It sounds kind of formal, and for most of its existence, it was. In fact, it was formed in 1886. There was a Swedish missionary who had gone to Alaska. After he'd finished his work, he came down to Portland. Notice there were a lot of Swedish immigrants. So 1887, they started a church. By 1891, they had built their first building. Pretty soon, they were busting out of the seams. By 1912, they tore the building down, built a new one. Everything was done in Swedish. And as were all the pastors, as were all the people. Well, eventually, by 1928, the Swedish pastor, he really didn't speak much English. And he knew that the younger people were growing up not knowing Swedish as much as their parents would like them to, but that was the fact. And so this pastor stepped down and said, "We need an English-speaking pastor." That was a big change. In the 1940s, instead of being the Swedish Mission Covenant Church, they dropped the Swedish. Woohoo! Let's just say there were some hot discussions about that one. Then in the 50s, they moved to another location, which gave them a lot more room. Unfortunately, no more parking, but that was another story they've had to face. And it continued to be a very traditional church, though they weren't just in Swedish anymore, and they weren't just all Swedish, but it was very traditional. And by the 1990s, their attendance was declining. The age of the congregation was going up. Finances were plummeting. Where were the young folks? They'd all moved, and they were struggling. They were unappreciated in their neighborhood. They were looking inward. They were barely keeping the pastor paid. The future looked bleak. They began to pray. They said, "Lord, we have a long history. We have God's good news. We've got to get this out. What should we do?" Well, the Lord heard their prayers, and Pastor John and his three sons arrived. He came in with some newfangled ideas, and it took a little while to work through. But over time, people began to see that this formal church with this long, over 100-year history, 110-year history by this time, we've got to do things differently. It's not just about our walls. It's about the community and reaching out. Some ministries stopped. Other ones were started. Some people didn't like it and left. Others, many more, came. Well, by the time we arrived in 2002, we're checking it out, it was full of life. There was vibrancy. There was excitement. And it was a place where history was celebrated and hope was found. It had gone from one pastor to three pastors, and it's still a vibrant place of ministry. I'll never forget the first day we ventured downstairs to coffee talk. It sounds weird, but for some reason we were really scared to go downstairs and enter. I don't know, that's just where we were at. All of a sudden, this kid about Kyle's age came running through the basement. We're talking to the pastor, and he had a toilet plunger on his head. And I had two thoughts. I like this church, and I'm not going to touch his head. But it turned out that was one of the pastor's sons. And we just thought, man, if you can get by with that, I like this place. They're real. This is life. And over time, the church made this their mission. The mission of First Covenant is to unify, nurture, and equip the generations to love God and one another and carry Christ's message to the world. It went from monolingual, monocultural, to bilingual, to multicultural, to near death, to a place where young and old mixed together. And they worshiped. They didn't throw the hymns out, though they did look a little different. The contemporary songs with rich theology, timeless truth explained in a way that all could understand. And one of the best things Kim and I experienced was they said, we are forming new small groups. So we go, oh, great, this is great. We're in our early 30s. Wow, long time ago. And as it turned out, we were in our 30s. There was one couple in their 40s. There was a couple in their 50s, a couple couples in their 60s, and one in their 70s. Let me tell you, that was a fun group. We had some energy. We had excitement. We were preparing to go to the mission field. But boy, they had wisdom. They had life experience. It was such a blessing. And the couple in their 70s became our canoeing and bocce ball buddies. We would go hang out with them. It was so much fun. We got to know this intergenerational, multi-generational group of folks that loved God, loved each other, and loved the world. And their tagline was on everything. We are a church for the generations. And it was lived out. that church had had to face a hard reality that they were reaching a little generation, subset of a generation, but not everybody. And they realized, you know, it's not just about keeping everybody happy, but it's about reaching out. And the older had to adapt, and the younger that came had to adapt. And God did some wonderful things. It became a place where Titus 2 was lived out. The older teach the younger. Younger serve and respect the older. And the generations rubbed shoulders and they enjoyed each other. Yeah, it looked a little different than it had. And for some, they were like, whoa! But when they saw the new families and the children and the things happening, like that cute little one that looks like Bam Bam, or Pebbles, I guess it is, it wasn't perfect. But it was a great place that we were happy to join in. We're going to talk about God's heart for the generations today. It's increasingly been on my heart, not only from the time I was involved in that church all those many years ago, but the more and more as I serve you and more as we wrestle with where we're headed. And guess what? The scripture says a ton about the generations, how they should treat each other, what they should do, the fact that they should be together. And it speaks about the young and the old. Psalm 92. We're going to go through a lot of scripture. The righteous will flourish like a palm tree. They'll still bear fruit in old age. They'll stay fresh and green, declaring, the Lord is upright. He's my rock. There's no wickedness in him. Proverbs talks about gray hair is a crown of splendor attained by righteous life. Well, I can see we've got some godly folk. There's some gray hair, and that's good. Isaiah says, even to your old age, I'll be the same. To your graying years, I will bear you, and I will have done it and carry you. I will deliver you. Job says, wisdom is with aged men, with long life is understanding. You folks have lived a long time, some of you longer than others. You've seen God's faithfulness, and you've been able to pass on so many lessons. But there's also a lot of verses about how honor and respect is to be given to those who are older. Leviticus says, rise in the presence of the aged, show respect for the elderly, revere your God, I am the Lord. It talks about how younger people and children. Paul told Timothy, don't let anyone look down on you because you're young, but be an example for the believers. How should the young treat the old? Honor your father and mother. It says in the Ten Commandments, it's repeated by Jesus in the New. 1 Timothy talks about don't rebuke an older man harshly, but exhort him as if he were your father. Treat younger men as brothers, older women as mothers, younger women as sisters. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. The Proverbs say, listen to your father, listen to your mother. That's what it says. But there's also many verses about older teach the younger. And if you look in your handout, in your bulletin, go home and wrestle with those. Read those. There's so many passages, especially in Deuteronomy. Teach the kids, because how's the word going to get to the next generation? Deuteronomy, remember the days of old. Consider the generations long past. Ask your father, he'll tell you. Your elders, they'll explain to you. The Lord wants the message of God that one generation has to get explained, to be given to the generation. I love several passages in Exodus. When your children ask you, what's this ceremony mean? He's talking about the Passover. He says, then tell them. It's a Passover sacrifice who passed over the houses of the Israelites and struck down the Egyptians. And then the people bowed down and worshiped, and they did what the Lord commanded. These parents said, let me tell you what God did. Now let's worship him in the way we're supposed to. And then the plan was that those kids would tell their kids. When the people of Israel entered the land, when they were crossing through the Jordan River, they were instructed, pick up some rocks, make an altar. So when your kids come and when they ask their descendants, what do these stones mean? You can tell them, Israel crossed the Jordan on dry ground. The Lord went before you. That was to be a visual reminder of what God had done. But there's got to be people that tell them. Psalm 71, so even to old age and gray hairs, O God, do not forsake me until I proclaim your might to another generation, your power to those who have come. I am fired up. We've got somebody in their 60s, somebody in their 70s, somebody in their 80s, somebody in their 40s who are working with Good News Club. Isn't that cool? Even to old age and gray hairs, don't forsake me till I proclaim your might to the next generation. That's happening. And over it talks about intergenerational relationships. Psalm 22, posterity will serve him. Future generations will be told about the Lord. They will proclaim his righteousness to a people yet unborn. Oh, wow. Thelma has number 42 coming. Great-grandchild. Maybe it's great-great. I can't remember how many. In April. She's praying for that little one already. Oh, that that little babe will be healthy, strong, and know Jesus to people yet unborn. Psalm, we have heard with our ears, O God, the fathers have told us what you did in their days long ago. Walk around, counter ramparts, view our citadels that you may tell the next generation. I love Psalm 145. One generation will commend your works to another and shall declare your mighty acts. Think about the relationship between Elijah and Elisha, an older guy who God took to heaven and Elisha, who the mantle was passed on to. Think of Naomi and Ruth, Paul and Timothy. Remember the Philippian jailer? The message was for his whole household who came to faith. And each generation is to pass on and make sure it gets there. If you read in the book of Judges, it's not a good story. If you look at some of the kings, a new generation arose who did not know the ways of the Lord. The chain was broken, and there were problems over and over. Read the prophets. About half the Bible is gloom and doom because the people forgot God. But the Bible really paints this portrait of the generations working together, telling your children, and let your children tell to their children to the next generation, is what Joel says. Ephesians 4, don't exasperate your children. Dads, pass on the knowledge of God. 2 Timothy, I've been reminded of your sincere faith, Timothy, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice. Generation to generation, getting the word out. Think about Titus 2, Colossians 3, Ephesians 5. Lots of passages. Fathers, this is your job. Children, this is your job. Mothers, slaves, everybody else. It's almost like there's these household codes. This is what you're to do. But the implication is the generations are mixing it up together. And it's great. In 1 John 2, it talks about, hey, young men, God has done a work. Older men, God's done a work. Young ladies, younger ladies, guess what God has done? He's rescued you from sin. Now keep on with him. But the fact is, they're all together. Galatians 3, we've all heard, neither Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, male nor female, for you're all one in Jesus Christ. I'm not adding to Scripture, but I think you can make the case that you could probably also derive the principle that says old and young too. And then Joel 2 and Acts 2 talk about your sons, your daughters will prophesy, be part of what God is doing. God has a purpose for all generations, and He's got a plan that we would interact together. He's calling us to work together, not to push others to the side, but to keep on trucking along. Luke even says, in His mercy on those that fear Him from generation to generation. Psalm 90, Lord, you've been our dwelling place in all generations. The counsel of the Lord stands firm, the thoughts of His heart to all generations. Psalm 100, for the Lord is good, His mercy is everlasting, His truth endures to all generations. Isaiah, for the moth will eat him up like a garment, the worm will eat him up like wool. That doesn't sound so good. But my righteousness will be forever, and my salvation to all generations. Psalm 13:13, your name, O Lord, endures forever. Your renown throughout the generations. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom. Your dominion endures throughout all generations. O Lord, your faithfulness endures through all generations. Isn't that great? It's over and over and over, and you just can't escape it. Well, how does all that apply to us? What difference does it make to our church? We had a great board retreat. We stayed in downtown Trail. It was fabulous. Actually, we were right on the river. Booth and Sandy let us stay at their vacation rental by owner. Let's just say it was pretty nice. But we talked a lot. We have a great board. They love God. We love each other. They love you. And we talked a ton about how can we reach new generations? How can we reach the folks that we have? How can we love the church? How can we love the community? We care deeply. We wrestled hard. I know you're wrestling, but what I want you to know is that you're highly valued. Every generation's precious to God. Every generation's precious to us. We love when new people come. We're glad when you're here. If you couldn't find your pillow, they're in the back, and I'll help you after service. There's a book on my desk, and I've got several just like it. It says, Reaching People Under 40 While Keeping People Over 60. Can be a little challenging. You know, and I think about that all the time. And I'm aware, and you're aware, of the tension we face as we're rather traditional, and our culture is increasingly crazy. But how do we love the folks we have? How do we reach out? And we as a board have talked about this extensively for the last year. We really wrestled in the last couple days. What would it mean if we were a church for the generations, where we were multi-generational, where we were intergenerational. We talked about our mission, our vision, our values, our strategy. And we thought, what if we ran everything through that filter of God would have us to be a church for the generations? Think of it like this. You go to McDonald's, and their job is to sell hamburgers. They want to make sure you've actually heard of McDonald's, so they advertise on TV. Then they send you little flyers in the mail that have the address of where it is. Then when you drive down the street, they have flashing signs, you smell the hamburgers. They want you, when you come, to arrive and go, oh, this looks like a really nice place. For my kids, it's like Playland. For some of you, it's 59-cent senior coffee, or whatever the case might be. But they want to make sure that when you come, it's clean. When you go in the restroom, it's clean. Because why? They're not concerned about you going to the bathroom. They're concerned about you buying more hamburgers. And if it's filthy, you're like, I don't want to be there. If the table's sticky, well, they're all sticky. But if they're extra super sticky for the day, then that's not a good hamburger selling strategy. They also want to make it as easy as possible for you to order. I've been at McDonald's when they have these rotating computer screens that I'm starting to look, and all of a sudden it goes to the next screen and the next TV. And I just wait, what's 99 cents? I'll take that. You know, because I can't follow it. But if they do it orderly, make it clean, bright, giant font, that really helps. If they keep things running smoothly, if they get your order right, you'll want to buy more hamburgers, and you'll say, hey, guess what? It's now 49-cent coffee for seniors. Come on down with me. If they make the experience good, their whole goal is to make money. If they sell, they're having the new healthy menu, they don't care if you eat healthy. They just want you to buy stuff. I mean, that's how it is, you know? Their goal is sell fast food. That's their guiding principle. Everything they run through their grid, get your money from you to us. Okay, it's not bad, but that's how it is. I know of a church, Living Hope Medford, and the grid they run everything through is not how can we make money and sell hamburgers, but they say, we want to walk with you in life, share the hope of Christ. And they continually are thinking through that. How, with whatever we do at church or outside of church, how can we walk with you in life? How can we be with you? How can we share the hope of Jesus? I've been thinking a lot about this, and we've wrestled with the board. You know, what if God is calling us to be a church for all generations? And we begin to run our decision-making through that grid, our budget, our strategy, what is important? How's it going to impact our building, our programs, the look, the feel, the involvement? I'm not saying that's 100% our exact vision. I think we're leaning towards it and bored, and I think there's really some merit to it. But it's not quite official. So come to 2020, we're going to talk all about that whole notion. And that's important. But I can say for certain God cares about all generations, and He cares for the church. But let's just say that this is the direction God's leading us. How would we work it out? Well, let's think about our facilities. We care about the older generation. Hence, those nice handrails to go to the basement that I never realized before were like this much too short at the top, this much too short at the bottom, and half of you had to jump halfway down the stairs to grab them before you could get them. Oh, and remember that 2-inch Spinal Tap step at the bottom? We don't have that anymore. That's partly because we love you. What about the paved parking lot? What about the steps that we repaired? You know, instead of the rounding thing with your high heels, whoa, you know, what about, we have accessible bathrooms. We had someone from Access come and say, how can we have a more accessible building? That was a decision. We care about generations. Well, okay, if we want to be for everybody, we need to do something with the nursery. Having a paper cutter in the nursery is not a good idea. So we're going to be transforming that for parents and children. We hope to invest some funds. The Lord bless us with some gifts, and we're going to take some from next year's budget in faith. We've got some money. We'd like to shake things up in here. In 2018, I hope that's the intention. We'd like to do some different things in the overflow room. Got some money budgeted for some signs down the road. We want to do something for kids downstairs. Freshen that up. Why? Because we care about generations. We want you to be able to get into the bathroom in your wheelchair. We don't want you to fall down the stairs. But we also want this to be a place where younger folks would go, oh, I like it. You know how you felt the first time you came in the foyer, or the lobby, whatever we call it, after we remodeled? Ah, this feels good. We have a great building. The plumbing's good, the roof's good, the foundation's great. It doesn't stink. We don't have water leaks. But it looks a little tired. Once every 50 years, it's probably okay to spend some money and fix things up. And that's what we'd like to do. So younger folks come in, not that they feel like, hey, this looks like Starbucks, but if they do, that's cool. But that they go, oh, I like it. You know, if the generations are important to us, how will music be impacted? We will have music for all generations. We will have all generations involved, singing the songs you love to sing by the same people. But not everything will be exactly the same. We'll continue to have things that the kids love. Hopefully, I won't be up here next week, but if that's what it takes, I'm there, because my kids are loving the service more and more. And you know what? I see a whole lot of smiles out there, too, because we care about the generations. We'll have some new. It's not going to be too loud, because that's bad stewardship, and I'm aware of it. We're still working through the details, but we as a board, we as a church are going to keep all generations in mind, and that's going to be important. The budget. This next year, we'll be setting a budget. We'll be increasing things for youth and children. We're going to have to spend some more money on technology. We'll need to spend some money on getting the word out about our little church. Steps of Faith. I hope that we're going to have another small group form in January. I want it to be all ages. A place where it doesn't matter if you're young or old, you feel welcome. I'm excited about the intergenerational, multi-generational thing we have going with Good News Club. Youth Season Saints have so much to offer. Do you know, as the more I read about millennials and church and all this kind of stuff, you know, millennials you don't understand, that talk different, that have a phone addiction, you know, whatever you want to say about them, one of the things they hunger for most in every single study is connection with people who've been down the road. That's y'all. Now, we have to learn to speak a little differently, communicate a little differently, but you are what they're needing. We care about children. We have a child protection policy. We don't want our children to be physically or sexually or emotionally or any way, shape, or form abused when they're in our care. We want to protect our leaders from accusation. We have training. We have screening. We have windows in classes. We're serious about it. Unfortunately, in light of the crazy world, we're also thinking about how can we take steps to protect all generations. We're not going to go crazy. We're not mounting a machine gun in the treehouse. But we do take these things seriously, and we're going to think through it as a board. We're not scared, but why would we take steps to think through security? Because we care and love for all generations. We want people to know that we're thinking through these things. We trust in God. We do our due diligence. Trust me, I'd rather not have this conversation. But it's wise, and it's the world we live in. Why? We protect the children, we should protect you as well. Those are just an example of how, if we're a church for the generations, all these decisions will kind of flow through. Yes, thank you for bearing with me. This is kind of like a family talk, family conference, family, let's all get together. But I think we need these occasionally. Some transformations are going to be a little harder than others. But guess what? We've already done quite a few things. And they're not that bad. We went from get your sermon on cassette tape to listen online. That was more painful for us and Frankie than it was for you, honestly. It's great. We did it. You can actually give online if you want to. But guess what? If you want to write a check, if you want to dump some cash in the thing, that's cool too. Last Friday, we had a great guest speaker, Gathering New Women, and she, you know, everyone's passing around the clipboards. And she goes, do you have that in digital form? No, we don't yet. Maybe we will. We'll deal with that. So some things will be different. Isn't it fun to have the kids? That's a change, but it's good. You know, you may have had to look for your pillow, but ask a spry 60-year-old to help you find it. It's okay. I gotta tell you, I came in here and it looked like, you know what? If I was new, I could sit anywhere I wanted. And that's a good thing. You know, I heard someone who is involved in a church restart say, hey, this is how I view it. The train's coming. You get on, get out of the way, or get run over. And I understand where he's coming from, But I want to tell you, that's not our approach. We're the TCC bus, and we got plenty of seats. We're going to have to shuffle some seats. Let me tell you, I'm so bummed that the Lord is moving Frankie and Kathy somewhere else. And I'm praying like crazy for some, the techie genes that you didn't know you had will start coming out, or the Lord will raise up some folks that want to do those things. There's going to be some roles changing. Things will look a little different. I don't know how, but God can provide. But what I want you to hear, young and old, everyone, there's room on our bus. We want you. No one's getting kicked to the curb. Your gifts are still valuable. We are a body. All have gifts. All are wanted. None have outlived their youthfulness. Yes, it'll look a little different. It'll feel a little different. It'll take some getting used to. But God has good in store. You know, maybe you're like, well, I'm so dizzy with what's happening, I'm just going to look out the window for a while. That's okay. You know, maybe switch seats. But we talked a lot about, what's our little church have? We have a lot of strengths. But the best things we have by far are the gospel of God and God's people. And as more as we think and talk about it, what's our world need? They don't need a thrift store. They don't need food stamps. They don't need education or computers or internet access. What do they need that they don't know they need? Is Jesus. And what do we got? We just got to learn how to communicate it differently. And, you know, so part of it is going to be doing things here so people want to be here. Most of it's going to be us going out. Now, you might be saying to yourself, now that sounds really good, church for the generations, but look around Trail and Shady Cove. It's mostly us older folks. And the few younger folks that are there, they just don't want to hear. Guess what? You're not looking in the right place. I have some census data, and I can share all 48 pages of it if you would like. And I didn't just get it off the internet, which you can, but very specifically, 399 Old Trail Creek Road, 1 mile radius. It tells exactly how many people are there, exactly what age, their income. Then I have the 3 mile from our exact address. Then the 5 mile. 5 miles from exactly here takes us to about the outer limits of Shady Cove. The fellowship is about exactly 6 miles. Really fascinating. This is more exact than your type in your zip code. In 1 mile of our church, as of 2010, yes, I know things have changed a little, there are 404 people. 76 of whom are age 19 and under, or they were in 2010. That's 18%. Guess how many in 2010 were over 65? 19%. Okay, let's go 3 miles from right here. 2,931 people. 543 are under age 19. 18% are under age 20. 25% are over age 65. Let's go 5 miles from right here. 4,587 people. 852 as of 2010 were under age 19. 18% under 20, 25% over 65. I know the population has aged. The 2010 census is 7 years old. So maybe instead of from 1 mile from right here, instead of 76 people, because they've gotten older, some have moved, there's 60 kids 19 and under. Maybe instead of 543, there's only 450 now. And maybe instead of 852 within a 5 mile square radius, there's only 700 kids. Until about 3 weeks ago, we had 17 kids in a 3/4 mile stretch from here to the post office. The generations are here because most of these 5-year-olds are not living by themselves. They have parents and they're related to someone. There are so many folks. Our mission field is here. Yes, we have a lot of older folks. We've got a lot of youth. And that's why I'm excited about Good News Club, from 46 to 58 out of 280 some kids at the school. 1 out of 5, and they're hungry for God. They want to come and hear. I already told you about the excitement and things going on, but no wonder I'm fired up. The generations are in our midst, young and old. And you are the generation God is calling to pass on the word to the next one. because you have seen God's faithfulness, because you have lived with Him, because you know His Word, because your lives are actually stable and solid, and you have something to offer. You love Jesus, you know. You don't even have to drive at night to invest in the next generation because the kids are there during the day. All generations need Jesus, young and old. And that's why we're talking about revitalization, transforming what we do in here and out there. That's why I care, because they're in our midst, and they're especially in our midst out there. There's many younger, many older, many right in between. And I got good news for you. If you are older, rejoice, because God loves you, and our church does too. And there's grace and a place for you. If you're younger, celebrate, kids. You're precious in God's sight and ours. You got much to gain, much to grow, and much to give, kiddos. If you're somewhere in between, be glad you're in the right place. The family of God is all ages, all stages. Three reminders from Scripture, and then I close. God so loved the world, all the world. God doesn't want anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. That's all people. Psalm 119, 80, 90, 90. Forever, O Lord, your word is firmly fixed in the heavens. Your faithfulness endures to all generations. You've established the earth and it stands fast. That's young and old. And as God's people, may we reflect his heart for the generations. May we celebrate the generations that we have here. The psalmist wrote, "One generation will commend your works to another. They will tell of your mighty acts." And that's what we plan to do. And all God's people said,
amen.